How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very hot right now. We're having a heat wave, which is pretty unheard of in this country. So when it happens, no one knows what to do.
How bad is it?
It's, I don't know, 32, something like that around here.
Oh, geez, yeah. Yeah, we're right up there today as well, actually. We've been having we either have rain or we have heat.
Right.
And then a whole lot of humidity.
Whereabouts are you?
In Connecticut.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, we're close to New York City.
Yeah.
Close enough, anyway.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
Okay. I've got a hay fever. It's too hot. But apart from that, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty much... I feel the same way. It could be always a lot worse as far as that goes. I want to thank you for your time, first off. I know you're always so busy.
That's fine. No problem.
And I did receive a complimentary copy of the new album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very nice stuff.
Thank you.
You know, it's on all the time at the house, and you don't know when it starts or ends, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a sign of a just, you know, one from start to finish, top to bottom, that is something I appreciate. Not just my ears, but my intelligence tells me, another very well-written album.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know how you managed to put together such elusive and intelligent work all the time.
I knew I'd write a book, but I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's funny. It seems no matter what I try to do, it always ends up sounding like what I do, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
I could try and write a heavy metal album, it would end up sounding like Banco de Gaia, you know. It's all I know how to do. So.
Well, I don't reckon you should change such a wonderful thing. But,
good, thank you.
But, you know, maybe Iron Maiden is looking for that drummer now. Still haven't found out. I still haven't found you, so that's all right. But yeah, this has to be one of my favorite. I have in my collection. I believe I have just about every one now, and this is a fast favorite already.
Brilliant.
And I don't know as if it's the political side of it or. I think it's just the feeling. Like
yeah, it's funny. Quite a few people have said that. I mean, when I finished it, I always have the same problem when I finish writing a CD, an album, I just have no idea what I think of it at all. Mm. I've just heard it too much, and I'm so lost in the details. But people started hearing it and saying, you know what, this is one of the best things you've ever done. And after a few people had said it, I started relaxing and thinking, well, it must be kind of okay then. And now I've got a bit of distance from it. I must admit, I'm really, really pleased with it. And I think maybe it's partly getting a bit older, having a few more years' experience, not feeling under pressure to be writing specifically. You know, I'm so unfashionable now that it doesn't really matter what I write.
Right.
You know, I haven't got to try to fit any category.
No.
So in a way, I just went into this one with absolutely no preconceptions, no rules, and just did what felt like coming out.
Mm. So. Well, where did you go to produce this? Do you have a special favorite spot or, you know, like an intimate location where you get in touch with, you know, as you're about to start a project like this?
Not really. I mean, I'm very fortunate that a few years back we managed to move, actually nearly 10 years ago now, we moved out into the country from the city. So we live in a small village in the southwest of England.
Oh, beautiful.
And we've got a 200-year-old cottage which backs out onto open hills. So it's a very beautiful spot anyway. So just being here is good enough.
I think so.
And the landscape around here is fantastic. And my studio's based here, so it's great. You know, when I'm working, I can look out the window and see the hills. That definitely helps.
Yeah.
So I don't really need to go and charge up anywhere else before I start. This place works for me.
That's wonderful. You're very lucky that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I too am a country boy now, and yeah, you can't beat it.
No.
And they're trying as much as possible to build it up here as well where I am. You know, we're in a very small rural area. And, you know, next thing you know, there's houses and developments still trying to be built.
Yeah.
I don't much understand. It has me scratching my head a lot, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Certainly over here, more and more people want to get out of the cities, so there's building going on everywhere.
Yeah.
We had open views in front of our place when we moved here for that. Very quickly got built on as well.
Mm.
But, you know, I understand it. I can't begrudge people who want to move out of the city and live here as well.
So yeah, you're right.
As long as it stays beautiful enough, that's fine. There's plenty of space.
Yeah.
We'll squeeze a few more houses in.
Yeah, the problem now is we're running out of space, and The only thing left are some forests nearby.
Oh, okay.
So we're trying to make sure those stay protected.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, at least you have forests. We lost ours hundreds of years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I guess back to the album. So you've distanced yourself away from it just a little bit. Have you discovered a track that you're really close to right now?
No, we've been doing live shows recently, okay. And the more up-tempo tunes on the album we've been playing live, the really ambient stuff we don't tend to do live because it's very hard to find an appropriate gig where that kind of music's going to work. Usually yeah. People want to dance a bit. So you know, the faster tunes I'm much more familiar with right this minute, and certainly Karakum and Chingiz have both been working fantastically live. They're really ripping up the audiences, which is great. But having said that, I think, in a way, my favourite of the whole... it's difficult, but if I had to pick one, it would probably be the last track,
We All Know the Truth. We All Know the Truth, yeah.
Yeah, because it's a friend of mine who's a singer, and she wrote the lyrics and used to perform it with a folk group she's in, who do traditional English and French folk music. And they did this lovely acoustic version, and I heard it, and I thought, you know what? I'd love to get my hands on that. So we talked about it, and in the end, kind of restructured it a bit. And it's the way it comes to that peak in the middle with the big 7-part harmony chorus or whatever it is. It's somehow just, every time I hear it, it still works.
Yeah.
And I'm just so pleased with the emotional effect of that you know, I could hear it a million times and still be pleased with it, I think.
Oh, that's great. Now, what's her name?
Her name is Maya Priest.
Maya Priest. And her band?
Her band is called Dragonsfly. They're based, well, she actually funnily enough lives in the same village as me, which is how we met. They play a lot in the UK, a lot of festival scene, and folk festivals and folk circuit around here. Haven't really done anything international yet, but I have got a couple of CDs out.
Good. I'll try to bump into her as well down the road after listening to that song three or four more times.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is not a problem.
Yeah.
Any, you know, I guess one of my curiosities is, are you heavy into, like, sports? Do you have time for other things, I guess, rather than just diving into music so much?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, sadly, I actually don't get to spend as much time doing music as I would like because I run my own record label.
Oh, so you're quite busy then.
Yeah, that's turned out to be a lot more work than I expected when I started, so... that takes up a lot of time.
And what's the label again?
Disco Gecko.
That's right.
Disco. And I'm just releasing my own stuff in Europe. It shouldn't be a lot of work, but a few years back I got the rights to the whole back catalogue, so we released all the old CDs. And
congratulations, by the way, on that.
Oh, yeah, it was a relief. It's like getting custody of your children after a divorce.
I bet it is.
Yeah, it's good. Good feeling.
You must have, a large weight must have been lifted.
Well, the frustration for me was that the previous record label, or the licensees, who were basically controlling everything, had gone bust.
Ah.
And in the process, everything just stopped. So all these CDs that people still wanted were unavailable. And people kept saying, where can I get this album? It's like, well, you can't. Mm. I mean, ironically, in the US, the US license ended up with the Disney Corporation, of all people.
Oh, my.
And, of course, you can imagine it's not really the kind of thing they're going to be too bothered about exploiting, shall we say. But you can't just have a sensible conversation with a Disney lawyer and say, look, you've got the copyright to this stuff. You don't know what it is. You don't care about it. Give us it back. You know, they have to see money on the table before they'll think about it.
It's mine until you pay up.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a silly situation. But at least once I got it all back, we could make it available again, which for me as the artist was the most important thing.
Definitely.
I mean, that was one of the reasons I set the label up, because I hoped I would, in time, be able to do that, and I wanted to make sure there was a vehicle to keep the music available.
And now, how many years did they hold your music hostage?
I don't know exactly when it would have gone out of print. I mean, we were licensed to a label called Mammoth in the US.
Right, yeah, Mammoth.
And they, I think... was swallowed by Universal, is that right?
That might be right, yeah.
And then Universal got taken up by Disney. So at what point in that process the music became unavailable, I don't know. I mean, certainly the last album we released under that deal was Big Men Cry back in 97, and I'd imagine the music was available for a couple of years after that.
Yeah.
But certainly by 2000, I don't think you could get new print of anything. But it took a couple of years, but we finally got it all back.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the circle is complete.
Yeah.
And perhaps down the road you'll even get to make more music based off of the experience of all this,
mm-hmm.
and B, you know, using some of those tracks as reminders. You know, they might have gotten lost for you a little bit too.
Yeah, well, yes and no. I mean, the thing was, because we were still playing live, a lot of the old tunes were still in the live set. So, of course, it was all very current for me, even though for other people it wasn't.
Yeah.
And one thing I'm very interested in at the moment is surround sound, 5.1 surround in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been experimenting. I mean, it's a big and expensive area to get into, but I've been experimenting a little bit with the new CD. And I don't have plans for a surround release at this time. But I have been playing with some 5.1 mixes of the tracks.
Oh.
And what I would love to do, if I ever had the time and resources to focus on it, would be to actually re-release at least some of the old catalogue in surround.
Yeah.
I mean, Last Train to Lhasa, for example, that whole album in surround would just be fantastic. Because even, you know, 10 years ago, I was already aware of the possibilities of surround sound and really wished I could work that way. But, of course, it wasn't an option.
Hmm.
But I can already hear, in fact, everything I've ever done as Banco de Gar, I can imagine being remixed in surround and working really well. So maybe at some point in the future I'll find a way to do that.
Yeah, you need to find the pot of gold maybe, but...
Yeah, I kind of need people to start getting into surround as well, because unfortunately, those of us who are into it, you know, think it's just... Everyone should listen to surround. Forget stereo. That's really dull. It's like the difference between stereo and mono. Once you've heard stereo, you'd never choose to go back to mono. And listening to surround is equivalent, if not more so. So once you get into it, it's really frustrating that most people haven't ever experienced proper surround sound. They don't know what they're missing. And so, of course, they're not buying... There isn't much demand for surround sound mixes. So it's...
Yeah.
It is a bit of a labor of love at the moment.
Yeah, well, it'll be a project of the future then, like you say.
Yeah.
And that'll, you know, maybe the timing will be right when you actually can do it.
Yep.
So that'll be good for everybody.
Yeah.
Now, back to sports or other cultural things, let's say.
Other things you
like to do.
Well, funnily enough, actually, as soon as I put the phone down after this conversation, I'm heading off to the hills for a few days. I love going up to the mountains whenever I can. In the winter to go skiing, and the rest of the year to go walking.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, being in the south of England, there's not much resembling a mountain nearby.
Yeah.
But in the south of Wales, which is an hour or so away, we have some reasonable-sized hills which are big enough to...
Get the breath going.
You can get the breath going and almost get away from the noise of traffic. You can never quite manage that.
Yeah.
You have to go a long way around here to do that. There's no wilderness, really, for a few hundred miles, but... So that's one thing I love to do when I can, just get away, just get really deep into nature. And for exercise, apart from slogging up and down hills, I play badminton.
Excellent.
An old friend of mine, or someone I knew years ago, reappeared about 2 years ago now. He moved down to this area from Sheffield, which was up north. And we got back in touch, and we were just having a conversation one day about, God, you know, I feel really unfit. Yeah, so do I. I should get some exercise. Yeah, me too. Ooh, yeah.
Maybe after this beer.
Huh?
Maybe after this last beer.
Yeah, it was along those lines, yeah. But for some reason, the idea of playing tennis or badminton or squash or something came up, and we checked it out, and there's places to play close by, so we started playing most weeks.
Good. So it's like a club? You go to a club?
No, it's just a public leisure center where you can just rent a court for an hour.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because, you know, I'm 42 years old now, which doesn't feel that old to me right this minute, I have to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the kind of age where if you don't start taking exercise, you really start noticing that you're not fit. I went through most of my life never thinking about exercise or sport, and actually stayed pretty fit and healthy just because I was young and I was busy. But as I get older, I'm aware that I need to actually consciously make time for it.
Badminton's great. My wife and I were going to be buying a set to bring over to a friend's party in September.
Right.
Because she went over there and whooped them at their home court. So we're going to bring all new stuff, so there's you know, no trouble.
Yeah.
And the whooping will begin, I'm sure.
Excellent.
She's wonderful at it, yeah.
Good.
You know, this has been fun. Before we close down, I do want to let you get off to the wilderness for sure. It's what, 3 something there now?
3:15, yeah.
Yeah, you got to get out there soon.
Well, not too soon. It's too hot to go anywhere, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, have plenty of fluids today.
Yeah, really.
You know, normally I would ask people, what are you spinning on your turntables these days as far as other artists, or what do you have in your iPod is becoming more appropriate these days. But what are you spinning of other artists?
It's a real mixture of stuff. Nothing probably many people would expect. I'm going through a big exploration of old stuff at the moment. Hmm. I have been forever. I've never been that bothered about only listening to contemporary music. I've always been, such a wealth of fantastic music recorded in the last 50 years that, I never need to see a new CD and I'll never be bored. Hmm. There is so much which I haven't heard yet. And I recently read a biography by a guy called Joe Boyd, who was a producer in the 60s and into the 70s, and he produced people like Fairport Convention, and Nick Drake, and a lot of the English folk groups in the 60s. And he started the UFO Club in London, which is where Pink Floyd first broke through.
Yes.
And I just read his biography, and he's talking about all these bands like the Incredible String Band. I'm thinking, God, yeah, actually, I've never heard an Incredible String Band album. Right, I'll go and...
Let me get that.
We have a local library, and it's a fantastic system. Our local public library has a huge catalogue. All the libraries in the area have a central database. So any book which they've got, any CD, any DVD, you can reserve it, and it'll be brought to your local branch, and you can take it out for a week.
Nice.
So I get to check all this stuff out without actually having to pay £15 to buy an album.
Yeah, right.
Right this minute, I'm taking with me to Wales The Hangman's Beautiful Daughter by the Incredible String Band, Bringing It All Back Home by Bob Dylan,
mm-hmm.
the new Muse album, because I still have a rock side to myself.
Sure.
And... Muse and Radiohead, I have to say.
I love the Radiohead, too, man.
I wish Radiohead would hurry up and get their CD out, because I'm really missing their new stuff.
I'm jonesing for it, too.
I know. Yeah. And the last Sigur Rós album I'm still playing. Really love their stuff.
Yeah.
And I was given a CD by someone called Helios, and I don't know who it is, where it comes from, except that it's kind of fairly mellow. It's electronica. Fairly down-tempo, almost, I hate to use the term, it's kind of New Age ambient, but it's not very New Age, that's not fair, but it's definitely not kind of druggy, clubby music.
Yeah.
A bit more subtle than that. That's really nice.
Wow, that is an eclectic mix.
Yeah.
That's something different.
Yeah, and a bit of Miles Davis at the moment.
Oh, well, geez. Yeah, you can never go wrong there.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There's one or two albums I can't stand.
I was actually trying to prompt that out of you. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. There's some noises and squeaks on there that, I have to run and turn it real fast. But hey, to each his own.
Yeah.
And so as we let you go off out into the wilderness there, on your website, which is bonco.co.uk,
mm-hmm.
there is Reflections on Tibet. If we could just, anything you want to mention about Tibet before we go to listeners that might be a little bit, too busy in their everyday to remember.
Yeah, I mean, this is a subject which is going to probably get a lot more attention soon, because in 2008, the Olympic Games are going to be in Beijing. In 1950, China invaded Tibet, which at the time was an autonomous state. There's lots of debate about the exact political status of Tibet and whether it was actually a country or what it was in the political sense. But the reality was the Tibetans were an independent bunch of people living their own lives the way they wanted to, with their own religion, just getting on with it, leaving everyone else alone. And the Chinese, like the British, like the Americans, like the Russians, like most people on this planet who've been able to, wanted to expand their empire, and so they just sent the troops in. And basically took over the country, claimed it had always been part of China anyway, which is a bit like the English claiming Ireland had always been part of England, and then used every means necessary to suppress the population, to make sure there was no revolt, burning down monasteries, imprisoning monks and nuns, using torture. I mean, the list of human rights abuses is unbelievable, and goes on. So a lot of us feel that Tibet is a very special culture. Tibetan Buddhism is a very, very pure form of Buddhism, very, very peace-loving. And the Chinese, in their greed for the resources and the land are basically destroying that religion and that culture, which is a huge loss for us as a species. So there are those of us who feel strongly that really this needs to be stopped, and that other countries should be stepping in and telling the Chinese, look, this isn't yours, give it back.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, China being the significant economic entity that it now is, no first world government is going to stand up to them and start making a fuss about Tibet, because there's too much money at stake now. Trade with China is way too important. And the international geopolitics of the big power blocks of China, North America, and if we ever get unified, Europe, there's a very, very delicate game going on as everyone kind of tries to not antagonize each other but not let each other get too powerful. And, you know, the same old story of empires banging heads against each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I used the opportunity of the bit of publicity I have through the website and also through the album Last Train to Lhasa.
Yeah.
Just to highlight and to mention what had happened. Maybe people never heard of Tibet. Maybe people aren't aware of what the Chinese are doing and what's being lost in the process.
Yeah, because in 1994, the Chinese government was going to put a railway through.
Yeah, yeah. This is funny. I mean, it's good timing you asked this. The album Last Train to Lhasa was inspired. The title, at least, was inspired by the news that the Chinese are going to build a railway straight through to Lhasa, which meant that they could hugely increase the flood of Han Chinese moving into the country and hugely increase the flood of natural resources flooding out of the country, to the point now that some areas of Tibet is almost all Chinese population. The Tibetans are most definitely a minority in their own country now. And the railway was going to be a great help to the expansion of the empire. And funnily enough, this year, or the end of last year maybe, certainly in the last 6 months or so, the first train ran on the railway. They finally opened it. But I have heard that apparently there are some major engineering problems and there's already subsidence along various parts of the track.
Oh, really?
And some experts are forecasting that the track will never actually get to be used viably because the landscape, the terrain it's gone through is just so inappropriate to building a railway. The Chinese did it anyway, but it's just not going to work. It's going to keep collapsing. So, I can kind of sit here with a wry smile thinking, well, yeah, you may have built the thing, but it looks like it's not going to work.
Right.
No, I do find quite amusing.
I do too. I do too. And I hope it stays that way.
Yeah, I think it'd be better.
Yeah, I do too. Well, I want to thank you for your time and wish you well. And,
thank you.
And wish you peace along your journey.
Thank you very much.
And, you know, that's it, really. Thank you for your time.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, you as well. And enjoy.
Yeah, I will.
Thanks.
Thanks for your words.
Bye. Bye.